This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Let's talk to Jesus. Let's talk to Jesus. Make it your prayer. Make it your prayer. Make it your prayer. Sin will no longer reign in this body. Sin and death will not prosper here. Oh, that is my declaration. Oh, what vengeance. Oh, what vengeance. Oh, what vengeance. Thus far would you come. Thus far have you reigned. Oh, there is another reign. There is another reign taking place on my within. Oh, brakatamana katesia banana dea. We have come to the times of his throne. I will begin to live by the Father. David said, I've made a vow with my eyes. Oh, sin and death will not prosper here. My every day is grace for grace. Righteousness is my master. I'm a servant of righteousness unto holiness. Oh, brondo kolobam brekete mushkabala. Thank you, our Father. We give you praise, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. We will be reviewing Believers Convention 2025, my experience. And tonight will be very great blessing to us. Okay, the first message we'll be looking at is Mommy Elin's message titled The Conversation of the Throne. And the first person that will be coming to bless us is a woman of God. She's a mother of one, a wife of one. And I can bet you she will bless us mightily tonight. Can we welcome Sister Wumi as she comes forward to bless us?
Amen. Praise God. Good evening, Daddy and Mommy. Good evening, everybody. Okay, so I'll just go straight as the Lord helps me to, give my part of the review. We're reviewing Mommy Ellen's message. And one of the things that defines the season that we are, especially Beacon, is the place of healing. And we can't overflog it that the Lord has come to really heal us indeed. But much more than healing for the body, the Lord is looking at healing for the soul. Because number one, what brought about sickness into the world is sin and death. It was sin and death that opened the door to the devil being able to afflict us. So it's very possible that we have medical science, that can bring forth technologies to heal us from sicknesses. But one thing remains that even if the healing of the body takes place, there's still something that will always make that sickness to reoccur. And that is the place of diseases of the soul. Because they are not far-fetched. The sickness in the soul, let me say, they are tied to the sicknesses in the body. So even through Beacon, I really appreciate God that it was able to bring forth that word through Mommy, because a lot of prophecy came even before Beacon during prayer meeting about sicknesses. The Lord was saying that we have come to a season where he's aware of the sicknesses and he has sent his angel to bring forth healing. But there's a way that we can receive healing for the body, but that healing, may not be permanent if the sicknesses in the soul are not dealt with, because that is the root cause of the sickness in the body. And I'll just read one scripture that captured the whole, thoughts of Mama, and that is Psalm 103 from verse 1 to 4. I'll just read through. Say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and then who healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, and who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. One of the things that we need to know is that the throne that came to us in this season is to heal us from the work of the adversary that has been wrought in our soul. And truth be told, is that there's a way that we can live, you know, in a place there we have not come to see that even the sickness in the body is something that is tied to soul natures. You know, I remember there was a time back then that it dawned on me that even anger is related to blood pressure, high blood pressure. You know, we may not know it and it may not look like it. Not just anger, even fear. Fear of life, fear of death. You know, those are the things that bring you to worry. And most of the time when you realize, they are attached even to sicknesses in our body. And that is one of the things, Mommy Eileen, God really helped her to do that. When we are sick in the body, it is not just enough for us to carry ourselves to the hospital. Because even if the doctor prescribes a drug to you and you are being healed at that moment, that sickness will still come back. It might not be immediately, and it is not a curse. I'm sorry. It is not a curse. It's just reality. Because man is a spirit. We have a soul and we live in the body. But because the devil already had access into the world, he has the right to afflict the body if the soul is not learning the ways of God. And I'll just pinpoint, you know, few of the natures that Mommy Eileen really dealt with. And when she mentioned that point, I was like, why of all places would she start from somewhere like that? And that is the place of being entitled. And throughout all our messages, you know, I could just see that most of the soul natures or the works of flesh that is in us are tied to high-mindedness and pride, like she mentioned. You know, when we are high-minded, there's a lot of things that we will not be able to overlook. For instance, somebody greets me and they did not greet me well. I am high-minded if I begin to think that, why did she not greet me? It means that I am rating myself more than I ought to. It means that I am looking at myself as though I am very important. And that is why I feel that that person cannot greet me the way he has greeted me. You know, the Lord needs to help us to come to a place where we don't think highly of ourselves. We don't think highly of ourselves. And one of the instructions that she got was that she has to say, sir. You know, it is not just about saying, sir. The revelation of our own sir is tied to an instruction. But I can just say, sir and ma to everybody. But in my heart, I am still high-minded. And the only way the Lord can show that to me is how I feel when somebody underrates me. You know, when somebody underrates me, or when a sister or a brother does something and you start to think that, why would she do it like that? Why would she behave like that to me? It's because I feel, who am I for them not to behave like that too? You know, it's because I'm seeing myself in a light that is greater than I ought to see. And she mentioned that even sometimes pride is related to malice, because we can't see how to come lower, how to see that this person is better than me, how to take the fall in every situation. And that's why offense can thrive in our soul. Offense can thrive even amidst us, because I am proud. You know, I'm unable to go low. I'm unable to take the fall for anything that happens, you know, between myself and my brethren. And much more than that, Mommy Eileen really emphasized on the place of our thoughts. Because sincerely, that is where all of those things start from. And this is a period where light is constantly shining and is even shining brighter in this period on the kind of thoughts that we have, on the kind of thoughts that come to our hearts. Because even in the things we think of, in the things we say, and in the things we do, these are the places where the Lord will check us out. And we have to come to a place where, I don't want to use the word smart in the spirit, but I don't have any better word, that when thoughts come in our hearts, when thought passes through us, we are alert in the spirit to be able to x-ray thoughts. You know, you are so sober in the spirit. We are so watchful in the spirit that thoughts are not just using our hearts as playgrounds. You know, and if the Lord exposed the thoughts in my heart and my fellow brother can see what I'm thinking of, how will I feel? If the Lord exposes me as I'm standing here and he exposes my heart and everybody can read my thoughts, will I be saved? And think that we need to come into that consciousness every time thought arises in our heart. That if this person has the opportunity to see what I'm thinking about him or her, am I going to be ashamed, or will I be proud of the kind of thoughts I'm taking? And then I'll just also point out, she talked about the place of being able to say sorry. Now, all of these things that she taught us is not just to say sorry, sorry, sorry to everybody. You know, there's a work that sorry is supposed to do in me. There's a stronghold or there's a statue of pride in me that when I say sorry, it's supposed to crumble that statue. And that is why when we are high-minded, it will be very difficult to say sorry. Even amidst us spouses, you know, husband and wife, husband won't be able to say sorry because you feel that I'm the head. Or even the wife feels like I am right on this matter and I can't say sorry. Or even amidst brother and sisters, or even I that I feel that I'm the leader, you know, unable to say sorry to somebody that probably is my subordinate. You know, all of these places, God must judge our thoughts and judge our natures. God has to look into that part. And she said that the person that is sitting on the throne is a lamb. And one of the things that characterizes the throne is meekness. So if there's anything the Lord needs to do in us in this period, is how to see opportunities where we can come low. Is how to see opportunity where I can esteem my brother more than myself. Is how to see opportunity where I can see the good in others rather than see what they are doing wrong. And I pray that the Lord will help us and strengthen us in this season. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Wow, that was powerful. She said, how I can see the good in others and not the evil they are doing. That's a big one. And, you know, one of the things that, while listening to that message, came to my heart is that, you know, there is a way that when you are in the midst of, let me use, for example, colleagues, that maybe they are lower ranked colleagues and maybe everybody is saying that, you know, I have a BSc in sociology and social works. And someone say, I have a BSc and peradventure, you are even a PhD holder. You know, there's a way that you are just waiting. Like, let them talk, finish. Let them finish talking. By the time you now come, I say, you know, doctorate degree. You know, they're like. But, you know, there's a way you can be small, but they're saying you should be little. Like, you leave that conversation and nobody ever knows that you ever had anything. And in fact, you feel that they perceive you to be a, you know, secondary school leaving certificate holder. You should be okay with that. And she was like, that's the nature of the throne. That when you hear throne, there's a way that you, throne, high, something very high. But she's saying that the first mentality that we should have when you hear throne is something little, someone little. And, you know, that message is a recalibration of mind, you know, for us. And, you know, next person coming up, I believe will push us further in that message. Our pastor, Pastor Sheyi Okewu.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Good evening, Daddy. Good evening, Mommy. Thank you so much, Sister Wumi. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for not holding back. You know, we are really blessed. Thank you so much, Ma. I think I would just align behind, you know, Sister Wumi. You know, also, I'm reviewing Mommy Elin's ministration. And one of the very first thing that stood out for me in that message, you know, was that tongue and the interpretation that came, you know, just before Mommy began to minister. It was Pastor Tokbe that gave that interpretation. You know, he said secrets, secrets, secrets of the ways, secrets to heal the diseases in the soul. You know, and, you know, that tongue and interpretation captured the burden of Mommy's ministration. What Mommy was addressing in that message, she was addressing diseases, you know, addressing things, you know, that has plagued our soul. You know, like Sister Wumi, you know, said profoundly, you know, that even we are sick in our body, you know, first because of the sickness in the soul. You know, she made mention of pride. Pride is a disease. Arrogance is a disease. You know, unforgiveness is a disease. Malice is a disease. You know, that thing also called entitled mentality. You know, that, you know, you feel because you have done something good, you have served your brother, and so your brother should respect you in a particular manner. It's also a disease, you know. And, you know, I was so, so blessed, you know, by that message. I was so blessed. You know, these are the things, you know, that make us unfit for the throne. You know, Jesus in days of his flesh did not have any of these things. You know, though he was a son, you know, but yet he was in subjection, you know, constant subjection to the Father through the things which he suffered. My experience on this particular message for me began at Believers Convention. During Beacon, there was this group. I think they are just about starting something on faith concepts. You know, so they were going about, you know, trying to get some person to just talk on faith. You know, when they met me, they said I should speak on faith in a sentence. You know, but I kept talking for like 5 minutes. After I was done, you know, I met him again. I said, I hope I have answered the question well. You know, that can I take it again? I went back again and started talking on faith. Whereas they told me to just define what faith is in a sentence. So I just kept talking. You know, and after I was done, I became very sad. You know, I became sad. You know, there was just a weight of the Spirit that rested on my soul, you know, but somewhere, you know, just let it go. And my wife was like, my husband, they asked you to just talk a sentence on faith. Why are you talking? You know, and, you know, so, and I started to defend myself that you know how I am, you know how my mind is. I cannot go straight to the point. I always have to go out here and there, you know, and that was it. Well, somewhere I still feel very sad that why am I like this? Why is my mind like this? Why is my brain? Why is it like this? You know, so, but then it left. Then a few days ago, this team did not release the video. I noticed my own was not there. So the team pained me. It was so painful. You know, and when I saw the ones they use, they're just simple things that faith is life, faith is love. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is a journey. It was just very something very simple. But for me, I was just talking. So then that weight came again. It rested. And, you know, the way it came, the Holy Ghost came on me, was for me to start checking, to start querying, why am I like that? You know, and I started seeing that that is actually how I am, even with my wife. You know, many times when my wife comes, you know, to bring a matter, you know, for me to just discuss, instead of me to just look at the matter directly, I will first route from north, I'll route to south, to west, to east, talk, you know, 30 minutes gone. So by the time I now want to even start talking specifically on the matter she brought to the table, she's tired already. Over time, I'll just keep telling her that you have to be able to bear me. Your salvation is through the things God is giving me. You know, trying to defend myself. That is how you are saved. That's this and so over and over and over to a point that at times she even got tired bringing things to my desk because I will first talk. I will first talk before finally, you know, and that weight was so strong on me to check. And I realized that's even how I've been. Even since childhood. So the Holy Ghost now took me back to the community where I grew up. You know, and I saw, you know, it was a small community with like 20 houses, a very big family, you know, from the first house in that street up to like the 18th or 19th house in the street. We are one family. You know, and my grandmother was among the elders in that community. So whenever there are any issue, you know, say siblings are having issues, you know, maybe a couple are at the verge of divorce, they always come to my grandma. You know, so when they bring the matter to my grandma, instead of my grandma to just address, I mean, they are boiling, they are about to divorce. Instead of my grandma to address the matter, she will stay in 1945, in 1955, in 1965, in so-so time, this in our so-so time, you know, and 1 hour is gone. So by the time she now wants to now start talking to them, all the old anger, all the old divorce had waned. You know, and that was what I saw for the first 18 years of my life. And I didn't know that thing that cultured my mind, you know, that cultured my brain, you know, my mindset that, you know, I'm unable to speak specifically. You know, I'm unable to speak directly. And, you know, I was still on that weight, you know, and as I saw that was also how I was all through my secondary school and university. You know, back in university, you see an exam of 4 questions, 3, 5 questions. Everybody will attempt that exam without extra sheets. But for me, I collect booklets. Booklets, no extra sheets.
I'm not exaggerating. I lie not. And why? Because I want to talk. I want to explain. I want to expand. You know, small question like, what is the SI unit of maybe mass? I want to define what kilogram is. I want to define what, and I will just keep writing. Now, that appears as a strength, isn't it? You know, that ability to be able to hold a thought, a conversation for 5 hours, 6 hours, it appears as a strength, you know, but also around it is also a disease. It's a disease, a sickness. You know, it's not all the time that you should talk 5 hours. It's not the time. You know, I came out of that experience with Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Colossians 4, verse 6. Say, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. How you ought to answer every man. You know, some of us in our workplace, you know, we like to argue scriptures. We like to argue. A brother in the body of Christ will say, oh, talking about fellowship, and you want to make the person know that this is more than that. You know, I remember, earlier on also in my career, I was like that. And the Lord told me that if I continue like this, I will not last long in career, that they will sack me one day. So it was an experience, and I started seeing how I need to allow the Lord to regiment my talk, my conversation. It's not one size fit for all. It's the way you speak with Sister A, it's the way you speak with Sister B. You know, and I was on that weight. The last experience, Mommy Ellen said that, you know, the throne is for the meek, it's for the low. You know, and, you know, I just saw how I need to serve my brother, how I need to serve my brethren. That if truly I'm looking for the throne, there's a way I should serve my brother, serve my brethren with meekness and lowliness. You know, when I say serving your brethren, it's not just about giving your brethren money. You know, so for some of us, if we are giving the money or resources, we feel we have served our brethren. At times, Lord, we have to serve our brethren with our time, to serve our brethren with our skill. It's not the time that the need of our brethren is money. God has not called us to become philanthropists. God has called us to service. You know, to serve. And so as I see how my brethren are doing something, you know, I just say, oh, this person needed maybe a hall, we support the hall. This person needed this thing, which is good, which I give thanks to God for. But at times, the Lord will not just only have you to give your car. Go and drive. Go and drive. The Lord will not just have you to just give your money for the decoration. Go and join them. See, the reason why we end up having entitlement mentality is because of this thing. You know, because naturally, if your brother is in a need, now maybe you give 500K or 1 million, there's just a way your brother wants to start seeing you. You know, and if it's only your brother that needs to get help, even you, that after you have given the money, come low. Yes, come low. You've given money, okay, you supported the suit, you supported the brother clothes. You go there, stay with them all night. Maybe praying, you know, washing plates, you know, staying at the door. Such that your brother will know that it is nothing. That it is nothing. Hallelujah. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. O makarana sive tomronondi shabrenia pangrunesia. Si heme no kabadia tamania tabashi. For I'm not just a high priest who is just I hope there. I'm not just a high priest who is not touched by the feelings of the infirmities of my own. I am a high priest, even who is ever present, who is there with you, even in your downs and your low times. Oh, I am also low. I am also low. I come to lowly places. I dwell in lowly places. I come to fellowship with the lowly ones. Oh, 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 oh. So you see, I'm cursing you. I'm putting a demand of lowliness. Even upon my own. That you will be touched by the needs of your brethren. Even by the feeling of their infirmity. Oh, Oh, that you can bear, you can bear, you can bear. It is lowliness to bear with them. It is lowliness even to see, them in that lowly state. And even identify with them, even for I identified with you. When you were low, when you were down, when you had no one around. Oh, it's a need of the moment. It's a demand of the season to be lowly, to be little, even like your own. Even like me, I am an high priest, but I'm even low. I'm low. So you must learn it. It's the demand of the season, said the Spirit of God. Amen. That message, we cannot exhaust that, Mommy Aline's message, you know, within this short time. But I just beseech us to go back and listen and, you know, pick out all the commandments that Lord has put in there for us in the name of Jesus. You know, we'll be moving further to the next message, Understanding the Activities of the Throne by Pastor Emeka Eguchukwu. And the first person to, you know, take us on this blessing is Pastor Saude Neizena.
Praise God. Good evening, everybody. Good evening, Daddy and Mommy. Daddy Emeka's message was a huge blessing. Daddy really tried to focus on the ability of the throne to save us. In terms of the burden that Daddy was trying to communicate, it was really centered around, first of all, trying to show that as men, as women, as children of God, there is an expression of another throne or another dominion that is really finding itself walk and prosper on our insides. One of the things he talked about was that there is a throne of iniquity, you know, that we all deal with and that finds expression through us at different times and seasons. One of the things he started even talking about was the fact that we are in a season where that theme called the times of his throne is a season that has already commenced. It was not just a theme, but an explanation of the season that we are in. Not just even as a community, but what the Lord is doing upon the earth in this time. And the culmination or the totality of what the Lord is doing right now is to deal with those expressions of dominion by Satan on our insides. You know, so if you listen to the message, one of the things he kept saying was to say that a large number of the places in scripture where they talked about the throne, they talked about how it was set. He says, immediately I was in the spirit, as Revelation chapter 4 verse 2, and behold, a throne was set. So every time is that it was, the expression was that they took the throne and they set it per time. So it was saying that that throne was movable. That throne was not a static object. That throne could be moved. And one of the things he said at some point was to say that eventually you'd find that that throne can be moved inside of us, right? So meaning that they can set that throne on our insides. He now went on further to explain that, you know, for example, you want to set a chair. You want to set a piece of furniture. There's a way to prepare the ground where that piece of furniture or that equipment will be set. There's a way to arrange the place where you will set that equipment. Now started explaining that, Psalm 69, I think verse 14, that justice and judgment, he says, are the foundation of your throne. KJV calls it habitation. Meaning that eventually they want to move the throne inside of us. There are some things that should lay as the foundation. And that foundation, in NIV, that's when he says, he used foundation. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. So if the throne will be pushed, remember, the throne is movable. The throne is mobile, all right? If that throne will move from where it is, it says that I saw in heaven, a throne was set in heaven. If they move that throne from heaven to your inside, it means that your inside must be a suitable accommodation or a suitable habitation for the throne. But for that throne to be set, so it means that the condition for that throne to sit inside is righteousness, is judgment. Now, that righteousness and judgment are laws that the Lord will give that will prepare our hearts as a suitable place, you know, for the throne of God, you know, to dwell. So one of the things that he now also explained, clearly the throne is not a seat. For example, when a king of a place, if he sits on his throne in that community, in his palace, but that throne is much more than that seat. Because if that king leaves his place of dominion, leaves his village where he's king, and he travels to another place, you know he's still the king. That he's not seated on the throne, he's not physically seated on the chair, doesn't mean that he's not a king. So much more than the seat, the throne is what moves with you. The throne is inside the king. So he was explained to say that the throne are the inward constituents or inward components of God that makes him have dominion. So the summary of all of that understanding is that there are components that each of us should have if we are going to say that the throne has now been set. So imagine, they cannot put a chair on your inside now. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. What they are putting inside that will say that you have a throne, you have the throne, is that you have components of dominion that God has now moved to our inside. So one thing that he said that really stuck out for me was a scripture in Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. It says, I beheld until the thrones were cast down. And though he didn't say it, hoha, one of the things that I could personally pick from it was that all of us rule by thrones, or we have certain levels of dominion. So sometimes, for example, that level of respect and honor that we desire to command from men. You know, for example, if anybody talks to us anyhow, there's a way we feel that, who are you to talk to me like that? The reason you can say that or you can think like that is because somewhere there you feel you are something. You are something meaning that you have some level of dominion. Now, that dominion that you think you have that is expressing itself in that thought pattern is a throne. Now, that's one out of the many thoughts that run through us on a daily basis. How the conductor talks to you sometimes is even how your boss talks to you. Personally, me, I know I'm dealing with one of those things like that in the office. How your leaders treat you in the office. Somewhere there, you feel like you can be treated better because somewhere there you feel you are somebody of worth. That thing is an expression of a throne. That if we are going to have the throne of God, as we keep on receiving components of the things of God, one of the things you will find is that those other thrones will be cast down. So one of the things you will find concern in receiving the throne of God is that where you are having a rule or you are reigning in some thought patterns, your rulership or your dominion is expressing itself in some thought patterns before actions. You find that those thought patterns will begin to change. So for example, anybody that is receiving the throne is one that will be increasing in some level of meekness and lowliness. Because the kind of thoughts you will have, anybody that is receiving the throne, check the quality of thoughts of that person. That person will not think like that anymore. The way you will think of your boss, you will look at yourself as someone that they can talk to anyhow. And you'll be okay. Now that's an expression of somebody that is receiving the throne. One of the things that they make her really pushed out or raised up or exalted was the fact that the person that they patented the name or patented that throne to in scripture, the throne of David, was a man that God broke very well. Many times as he was kept on writing Psalms, one of the things that the maker said was that he wrote those things in tears. You could see that he was a man that was broken. And because of that, they patented the entire throne and called it the throne of David. So somewhere there, it means that as we keep on receiving throne, the way you can use to judge, or I can use to judge myself that I'm receiving throne, is that what is the quality of my thoughts? The way we think of reigning is that we reign with authority. We reign with some outward expression of dominion. For example, as the head of the family, I should issue a command and the entire household should shake and tremble. But that's not really the throne of God. That's rulership by another throne, because the throne of God is in meekness and lowliness. One of the things he said was that anybody that will get access to the throne, he says he's a lamb. Meaning that a lamb has power. In Revelation 5, we saw all of that power that was resting on the lamb. But he said that lamb, he says, was a lamb as though it had been slain. That's a broken lamb. So anybody that will have rulership, let's check it with our brethren in our daily conversations. And that was what I wrote down as my own action point, as my own day-to-day task or day-to-day work. He said that we must keep working to ensure that the throne counts us faithful for to shift itself inside of us. I started thinking on that to say that there's a way I take my job seriously. There's a way I take my natural endeavors very seriously. There's a way I take it. But many times, and I believe that's the same with all of us, we're all taught to be diligent. But much more than our diligence and our natural, there's a higher level of diligence we should pay to our salvation.
where we are very careful on a daily basis about obediences that we fulfill, about works that we should carry out, that will make sure that at the end of the day, we have used every opportunity to ensure that the throne has moved closer to us. So by the time we have lived our entire lives, because all the days you will spend on earth, if the Lord counted 24 hours to be enough for us on a daily basis, I can assure you that all the days of the years of our lives are enough time to move the throne inside of us, according to the counsel of God. Even though we know that naturally it should take a lot, but if the Lord has appointed a certain time to us, somebody in the mind of God is enough. So if we don't use that time well, it is not on God, it's on us. So at the end of our daily transactions, or if we are diligent enough, our diligence will show in how we use every second of our daily transactions to ensure that somewhere there, the throne has moved closer. I believe that mentality of at least, if nothing at all, at least I've tried, the throne has moved 5 meters closer to me. But if ideally for that day, it is 20 meters that the throne should move, we have failed. Because somewhere there, if you have moved 20 meters, you only use 5, then 15. Multiply 15 by the days of the years of your own pilgrimage. What will be the distance of the throne from inside of you? Then you know that we have really wasted time. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Wow. That was serious. You know, while he spoke, there was a song that came to my heart. I remember a very old song. It says, carry me upon the wings of the Spirit. Carry me. See, I'm broken and I'm weightless. I am open and I'm yielded. Carry me, Jesus, carry me. You know, that was really powerful. We can't go forward. We can't go the mileage with the Lord Jesus if they don't break things on our within. Amen. You know, going further tonight, join me as we welcome Pastor Abraham Drojaye.
Hallelujah. Good evening, Daddy, Mommy. I'm also reviewing the same Daddy Emeka's message. That's day two evening. Okay. I will just share my experience. Pastor Zena, our teacher, already taught us. So you know the message, and we can always visit the message. But one thing I see about the activities of the throne, the way it was painted to me, because it's my experience, is that it's actually, like Pastor said, is not just a one-time experience. They call it times, according to that 1 Timothy chapter 6, which in his times he shall shew who is the blessed and holy potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. One thing I can say about this season, like Pastor said, because it's a season that I saw that they kickstarted with us. Because it's not just eye-sounding words, but words that heaven takes seriously, because it's actually days of salvation. You know, when I say it's times, it's time is actually times that accumulate into salvation. So salvation is not something esoteric, it's a destination. It's not just a destination, it's something that I can have inside of me. God is salvation. Son is salvation. Holy Ghost is salvation. So they all have manners of salvation, but the highest of it is actually in the Father. Yeah, so, but what I just want to say is the time of the throne is actually a time of scrutiny. I remember a tongue, you know, that came in between when Daddy Maker was talking about the throne being the time of breaking. Because there is a work inside of us. We all know, and it's good if you don't know, I think we should know, that we have works. We have thrones inside of us. Every man moving, you know, is a carrier of thrones. And we carry it in measures. Some of we are carrying thrones of fallen spirit, first heaven, second heaven. You know, scripture calibrate them in different measures in Ephesians chapter 6. So every man is a carrier of throne. And how do you know you carry throne? Throne has things. And the things of the throne are what really shows what we carry. Mommy Ellie once said something that on evangelism outreach, and they were trying to cast out a demon. And that demon began to abuse them. Foolish. Stupid. And she mentioned words, those things are expression of a throne. So whenever I say that, it means I'm not different from a demon. So there are things that we do, there are posture that we take that really shows expressions of the thrones that we carry. So what I just see here for me is exchange. What they want to do with us, that's why they have to break down. It's like you want to build a house. A house is existing. You have to bring that house down before building another one. Because God will not build, you know, we are the one good at renovation. God don't renovate. God is into the new. Whatever he wants to bring forth is the new. It's new. That's why he himself is new every morning. And that's why you should know that there is a season of scrutiny over me. Scrutiny of my thoughts. You know, scrutiny of how I see things. Scrutiny of my understanding. It's as if heaven is sitting on me. And that's the season we have. Because it's the season of salvation. It's a season whereby nothing. I remember that nothing will be left without being touched inside of us. This is not a season whereby they will permit anything. Whatever you can think of is not going to be permitted because of the season over us. You know, one of the things is they began to show me how to see my wife again. You know, there is a way I've seen her before. They began to make me see how I should see her again. You know, you can say that your wife should submit to you, but the instruction is submitting one to another. They began to show to me where I'm not submitting to my wife. You know, every man wants their wives to submit to them. That thing is an entitlement too sometimes. It's not your right. So she should be the one. You are not the one to tell her. It's like when the man begins to say, don't you know I'm the head of this house? Daddy will say, that day you are not the head of the house. Because you should show that you are the head of the house by your conversation. So I began seeing the need for me to submit because she's also heir to the promise. And she's there also as help. She's actually there to initiate the work of the Holy Ghost. Also, the work of the Holy Ghost is there to carry out the work of the Holy Ghost in helping me so that I can reach the destination that God will have me get to. Secondly, it's also a time of chastening, rebuke. You know, some of us, like we've been talking about, is a season whereby they want to use trials. It's not just a trial because by most trials shall ye enter the kingdom. It's an entrance that they're administering to us in this season. So, and one thing they are looking for is men that we overcome. And that tongue that Pastor Lide interpreted, he says, it's an honor for the throne to look upon a man. It's an honor for you to be dealt with. Or what we call leading and dealing. You know, there's a way we have this pity party because they are leading us in a way that is not general. That thing is a work of mercy. It's a work of mercy. It's good to know it. It's good to accept it and agree with it. That every of God's dealing over us is for a purpose, for the throne to be set inside of us so that we can be compatible to the throne. What the Lord is doing in this season is just an opening, the way I saw it, and it's a season of reconciliation. The Lord told me that I said it's a season of reconciliation until I am like, because the standard of God remains sure, and there's a seal upon it. And everyone that will name the name of the Lord is a must. We cannot do some and not complete it. Everyone that will name the name of the Lord must depart from iniquity. And that is the season we have. They are not just dealing with sin. They want to do a thorough work like they did in our Lord Jesus. And that was why it could be set. Because he that was actually set on the throne was not just set on the throne because he came as the Son of God, but they walked that throne inside of him. And that was why he could be there. So I'm praying that the Lord will help us in this season. You know, one of the things that I'm trusting God for is that God will help me to agree with heaven in this season. Because actually activities of heaven is the season of heaven over us. When we talk about the throne, it's actually the season of heaven. And heaven will look into every nook and cranny of darkness in us until they expire all. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Daddy. That was powerful. There's nothing to add. There's nothing to remove. Just a prayer point. Lord, dethrone me. You know, as in dethrone iniquity from my soul. Amen. You know, we'll go to the last message. We are taking Reverend Ken's ministration, entering the realm of desiring the Lord. The first person that will be coming to bless us tonight is our own dear pastor. We call him MD. Welcome, sir.
Good evening, Daddy and Mommy. Looking at Reverend Ken's message, the title of the message is Entering the Realm of Desiring the Lord. Let me just lay a brief foundation and then just say, I think one or two things that really stood out for me in the message. A reverend was trying to reach out to some people that one way or the other may have some reservations regarding the calibration of our growth, right? You know, when we talk about the milk of the word, the meat of the word, and the strong meat, you know, all of these, Christ, Son of God, Father, and all of those things, you know, and now we're talking about the times of the throne. And he was trying to say that what is required of us in this kind of a season is the need for us to believe, amen, to not try to understand first of all. Because sometimes when we try to understand before we believe, we will circumvent what God wants to do in our lives. There's no one of us here who speaks in tongues. You know, began by trying to understand what you are speaking before you began to speak, all right? We started by speaking, right? Scripture says that, you know, you began to speak and then along the line believed to understand what you were saying. So, and it's the same thing. It's a principle in the spirit where we begin by believing, you know, even when we don't understand, and trusting God that we get to that point where, you know, we begin to understand, you know, what we are hearing. So hearing about the times of the throne, there's a way it can just be like a lot, you know, to unpack and all of that. And in a way, you know, for me, based on my experience with the message, I just kind of dissected into like three parts. There's a part of believing, there's a part of knowing, and there's a part of desiring the Lord. So there's a place of where we begin by, you know, by believing before we, you know, we come into understanding of these things. And for me, I think one of the things that stood out for me is the part of, you know, knowing, you know, the Lord, knowing the Lord, experiencing the Lord. You know, connected to that is the place of being sincere with ourselves, or let me say being sincere with myself, you know, to know exactly where am I in these calibrations, right? Where exactly am I? Am I in the meat? Am I in the milk of the word? Have I gotten to strong meat? Because, you know, there are some people who come into our midst, get born again in our midst, but they are hearing these things. It will be delusional to believe or to think that you understand what is being said. Really, really, you don't understand. And I'm not trying to cast aspersion on, you know, on you. It is because it's not possible for a newborn baby to be thinking about the throne. You don't know anything that has to do with the throne. You don't know the requirements. It can be said over in messages. You can hear, you can have mental assent, but you really don't have the faculty within yourself to do anything to bring you there. You have to start from the beginning point. We have to start from the place of faith, believing in the Lord Jesus. Just like we don't give commandments to babies. The whole duty of a baby is to feed. Just keep feeding and keep growing. You know, along the line, you will begin to develop capacity to understand. Maybe a suckling child, for instance, bites the nipple of his mom or her mom, and then the mom maybe just, you know, taps the lips. There's a way it sends a message that this is the wrong thing for you to do. All right? Now, that is the way a baby begins to have understanding regards of, okay, what is right, what is wrong. You don't tell that baby, no, don't, next time, don't bite. It doesn't understand. It can bite you the next time. It can bite you 50 times afterwards, right? But there's just a way you culture that child until the child begins to grow by reason of the feeding. The feeding is the preoccupation of a baby. Feed and feed and feed until you begin to develop the sense, you know, necessary to begin to now receive commandment. And it is really, really in Christ that we know that God comes and begins to confront our ways. We know that. So where I am actually going, you know, for me, is the place of being sincere with ourselves to know exactly where we are so that our growth won't be stunted, it won't be haphazard, right? Because we are growing in a way that it is cultured under the administration of the Spirit of God. Amen. And the second thing is the place of desiring to know the Lord. And this ties back to the things that we do. when we are under pressure, the things that we do subconsciously. And, you know, one of the references that was given is the place of Aaron. You know, and the Reverend said it emphatically that Aaron did not know God. And then it struck me again that truly, Aaron did not know God. You know, Aaron may not have come into the picture if Moses didn't negotiate that assignment. No, there was just this back and forth. And God will tell, okay, calm down. Take your brother to go with you. He will be your prophet. God made Aaron Moses' prophet. But this prophet did not know God. At the point when Moses was now held up in the mountain for 40 days, and then there was pressure, show us the God that, you know, took us out of the land, you know, and then there was these people gathered and all of that. Now, if really Aaron knew God, he would not succumb to that pressure to say, okay, bring me. Now, they were not the ones who suggested what he should do. He was the one who said, okay, bring me your bracelets, your anklets, and all of those things. Now, I'm trying to say that the things that we do, the answers that we fetch when we are under pressure, when we are under duress, is a function of the God that is inside of us. It's a function of the image of God that we have. You can't fake it. You cannot fake it. If you don't have it, you don't have it. And that's why I'm saying that for me, it's a desire in my heart to come to that place again and asking myself, all these things I have heard over the years, all these things I have in my head that I know, how much of the Lord? Because in these different calibrations, in the milk, there is a life that you should say, this is the evidence of the life in the milk of the word. This is the evidence of the life in the meat of the word. This is the evidence of the life in the strong meat of the word. Now, I can have all of these things. I can understand the throne, the 24 elders and all of that. But I may not even be bearing fruit of the milk of the word. All right? It's possible. See, heaven knows this. Satan also knows this. And that is why it shows things around us. He wants to really check. At their time, the Lord also allows him to come. Let's even check this building. What is it made up of? Is it stubble? You know, or is it wood? Has it come to a place where we can begin to use things like metals to structure this building? Because really, really, temptations will come. You know, and for Aaron, that was what happened. And he built a molten calf for them. And he told them, this is the God that brought you out of, you know. And when he now made reference to Jesus asking his disciples, who do men say I am? And he told him, yeah, some say you're a prophet, some say you're Elijah and all that. And truly, truly, Jesus was the prophet. God had told Moses, out of your brethren, the Lord will raise up a prophet, right, whom you shall hear. Jesus was that prophet. Jesus was the Messiah. If they had said all those things, in a way, they were still capturing who Jesus was. But he now asked them, who do you that you are following me, you that after I've said things in the open, I bring you into the closet, I share certain things with you. Who do you say I am? And for me, it struck me that God is really, really particular about what I know, what I think of him. Because that is what gives the context for my relationship with him, right? God told Moses, I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by my name, God Almighty, all right? He says, but by my name, Jehovah, I did not appear to them, right? Now, what is that? Let's take it into our own context to say, that appearance, God Almighty, to these fathers, but I did not appear to them as Jehovah. There is an appearance of the Lord Jesus in the milk of the word. There's an appearance of the Lord Jesus in the meat of the word. There's an appearance of the Lord in the strong meat of the word. Amen. That in the place when I know where I am, I must know the Lord because I believe the Lord will bring us to that point individually, not in the open where he's asking, who do you say that I am? Because it is by that revelation of him to you that you can operate. You know, and it is that understanding that you have that can help you to weather the temptations that come. Like for in the case of Aaron, he actually fumbled, right? And then it could be anybody. We just ask ourselves, what are the answers that we fetch, the things that we do when we are under pressure? It's as a result of what? You know, like in recent times, my wife and I have been under some kind of pressure. You know, even yesterday, there was a particular letter we received, and, you know, it could be, it raised a little bit of agitation. And then, you know, all through the week, she has been asking me, over this thing, what are we doing? Over this matter, what are we doing? At some point yesterday, when she, I said, leave it! I said, this is an opportunity for us to trust God to the last day. Let's see if God will not show up. I want to have a testimony. There's a way we can know all these things. But the devil himself knows. God in heaven knows that you don't trust me enough for this thing. You know, Paul said, I know whom I have believed.
There's a place of belief. It started from believing. I know whom I have believed. But I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him. Now, what Paul committed to him was not natural things. But if we have not even learned to commit natural things, that, okay, in this case, this particular threat that I'm facing right now, God is going to come through for me. How can I say, like Paul, I'm persuaded that the things I've committed is not money, is not family, is not the spiritual things, that things that have to do with his place in the things of God. I'm persuaded that that which I have committed to him is able to keep against that day. So for me, this is like my experience, you know, with the message to, number one, be sincere with myself, exactly where am I? And based on where I am, how much of the revelation of the Lord to me in that realm do I have? Because that is what I'm now going to use to wage a good warfare. May the Lord help us in Jesus'
name. Wow. Thank you so much, sir. You know, the scripture that comes to heart is, you know, that scripture says that they that know their God, they will be strong and they will do exploits. So it's a good time to ask yourself, am I strong? Am I doing exploits? You know, one of the things that was dealt with in that message is assumption. You know, there is something that I know my God and I assume I know my God, you know. Lord will help us. It's a time to check again and to be sure. Finally, tonight, you know, join me as we welcome Pastor Praise Adeleye as he comes to bless us.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Good evening, Daddy. Good evening, Mommy. Good evening, our pastors, our elders. Good evening, church. We thank God for how God has helped us. I still remember after convention, I still messed up. I still found stubbornness while dealing with my wife. I still found out that I can still be strong-willed and strong-headed. This thing, you just finished convention, no? You know, when Pastor Ken was praying and I was just shouting, Lord, I desire you. I want to desire you. Desire. And after the whole convention, I found out that a little issue, I don't change them. I was trying to explain myself as though we have more revelation when we are with our wives. You know, we just want to explain ourselves. Just keep saying this, saying that, and you're just looking at it like this. I just saw that, this is wisdom. That is not everything you have to confront and have to try to show that you are right. I still saw that after convention. I'm like, Lord was now saying that, you know that it took 40 days for the golden calf to come out. Now, these people saw God descend on Sinai, live and direct. They saw smoke. They saw fire. They heard trumpets so loud that they ran away. You know, you'd have felt that, no. Nobody can have such close encounter with God and remain the same. But just to say 40 days and something else. You know, we can be in that meeting and the way we are hearing it with the ears of the throne in us. And after it has all been said and done, when they now come back to issues of life, nothing has been done yet inside. Why? Because after encounters, after ministrations, there's still that thing that Reverend Ken spoke about. He referred to Reverend John Oposio's message. He said there's still that obedience that is not just trying to obey Bible, but obeying the assignment book. You know, the Bible has ground rules, has ground, you know, instructions, but assignment book begins to come particularly to you. You know, it made me to see marriage in another light. Because why? He drew inferences. He drew parallels between our union with the Lord and our union with our wives, showing us that, you know, that day you said, I do. That day we said, I do. You take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband, to keep and to hold and to do all these things. And you say, I do. They told the woman to do you. He said, really, we don't know what we are doing. It takes process before we begin to realize what we have gotten ourselves into. It takes process. It takes time. No, Reverend Ken said that every man marries a woman. It takes time for the wife in her to show. Say, every woman marries a man. Say, it takes time for the Lord inside him to show. Before that Lord shows, you will go through process. Many of us just want to say, I found a Proverbs 31 woman I've always looked for. Sisters, you are marrying raw material. In fact, after 5 years of marriage, you know, I'm still looking at myself like, my God, there's still a whole lot of work to be done inside of me. Because I know that I've not gotten to that point yet. So the way Reverend Ken was saying that every man desires, you know, that their wife recognizes the man for who he is. I can't ask myself that, who am I first? Because I must answer that question first of all. Because until I am like Christ, I cannot want her to recognize me in this state, because I'm still far from the Lord. If I begin to bring that demand upon her, it will be a disservice. Why? Because it's a process that they must take us through. Let me just read from this place. God is in the business of leading us to his throne. Other things are attaches, and other things must be dethroned. So I just want us to know that one of the great emphases he stated was that we are not the ones that will surrender our things to the Lord. He said, it is on the way that they take those things. So yes, we can cry. We could have made vows and commitments, made resolves at Beacon. Yes, we thank God for that. Because one of the things I realize is that to take our things, we want to do it at our own comfort. Songs of Solomon, the lover, the beloved, came to knock, but she was on her bed. And it took time for her to respond. So we can see that when the Lord comes knocking, sometimes we are still on our bed. We want comfort. We want him to be Lord. But we don't want to go through the process of conversion, because his lordship is not tied to our speakings and our so-called resolution. It is tied to how we have been able to relinquish things as he's demanding of them. And this relinquishing comes as we follow the process. Can we say follow the process? Because it takes time for these things to be done. You know, lastly, you know, I just want to also still come back to that place of marriage, that for as many that you are keen at that estate, or the Lord is saying something around that estate, one of the things that we must know is that there is work to be done. The Lord particularly told me, he said, the submission of your wife to you is based on your submission to Christ. Because as the woman is to be subject to the man is to be subject unto Christ. I cannot say that I am not recognizing the lordship of the Lord and expect my wife to recognize me in that estate. Like what our daddy Abraham said, you know, that it must be submitting one to what? Another. Can we say amen? Amen.
Just talk to the Lord. You know, respond to the Lord tonight. A lot has been said. You know, my heart is so heavy. Kiparana sisi fago. Emba Stefano Sisifagra Shishinagorota. Ha 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 prostemfenehoti sipato. Make sure you talk to the Lord. The Lord must have visited you.
Kala ha 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 setabago haragustia tarianto. Hallelujah. Fufu nasti pasti si. Hallelujah. Fustem pata sashi. Hallelujah. Amen. Faste feet. Hallelujah. Amen. Just the part. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh,
He's a man of mercy. Even that can detonate death. Even that can detonate death. It's by mercy. It's when mercy appears, even death is detonated. It's by mercy. It's a man mercy. Even a man of mercy. It's a man mercy. Even how we have mercy. Even on the mere on whom? Even here, on whom? On whom? On whom? On whom? On whom? A mercy, mighty mercy. It's a mighty day. It's my day. It's my day. It's my day. It's my day. It's in a day. It's my day. It's a day. It's a day. It's a day of mercy. It's a day of mercy. For there must be a debt, even for day. It's for, even for a day. Even for a day. Even a day. It's a, for a day to do. dawn, even for a day to dawn, even there be a dying, there be a dying, there be a dying, even for a day to come, even for a day to come, even for be a tummy time, then they don't near die. Even your tongue on doing to name it many time. It's even messy time. It's even messy time. It's even messy man. It's even messy man. Messy man. You're messy man. Even an entire man. It's an entire man. It's an entire man. It's an entire man. Even a man who can detonate death. Even a man who can detonate death. A man who is wired even to take mercy. Even to take mercy conversation. Only me at a mercy. It's a mercy. It's a mercy heart. It's a mercy heart that can receive mercy. It's a mercy heart that can receive mercy. It's a mercy heart that can receive mercy. I want to make even a heart, even a heart, even a heart, even from your stony heart. I want to take away the stony heart, even to make you a heart, even a heart, even a heart of mercy. Even be merciful, even to yourself, even be merciful, even to yourself, even be merciful, even be merciful, even for I will show mercy, even to whom I will show mercy upon, to whom I will show mercy upon. And we have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Save to save to the utmost.
Take any heart apali. Man heart man. Man amati mahanti man heart. Man heart. Man heart. Man to man. Is my mending of man. Is the mending of man. I'm mending. It's a mending of man's heart. Is the mending of the heart of man. Is the ending. Even the bringing to an end of a particular reign of death. Even in man's heart. Ivele pro senta da shim tedede si sendo plendigado flessing the weight. Way the matter. Weigh this conversation. I brought weight for to weigh. I have brought weight, even weight upon this house tonight, even for to cause you to weigh the matter, even for to cause you to weigh matters of the heart, weigh matters, for to weigh conversations in your heart, even for to weigh even part that is being trodden, even in heart, even in many hearts. I brought a weight, even merciful weight, even the weight of mercy, even for to reconcile, for to make reconciliation of conversation, even make reconciliation of conversations, even in art, even particular conversation, even to recover that debt, to recover that particular debt, even that has taken a tronic space in the heart of men. I've brought weight tonight. I have brought weight to weigh on you. Don't cast away that weight. Take that weight. Take it in. Take it mercifully in. Bring that mercy in. Show mercy to yourself by taking that weight in. Don't cast away that weight. Don't let that weight lift without taking consideration. Without weighing. For you see, it is a day of total redemption. It is a day where I can totally redeem, where I can totally recover even that chunk of debt, even that chunk of conversation of debt that has held sway even as a throne in the heart of many. Take my mercy in. Take the mercy of this weight in and consider that conversation. Consider that conversation. Take the weight into your heart. Weigh the matters. Weigh the matters on the inside. For a day of mercy is come upon this house. Say the Lord Jesus.
Amen. The truth is, the day we live in, we must be sincere with ourselves. You know, you can't just afford to just live in this seat. You can't afford to be ignorant of your state. You must be able to evaluate your flock. You know, you must be able to evaluate your journey. You must not just be a church goer. You know, you come to so many meetings, we hear so many words, and at the end of the day, you are not making mileage. Throne is for profiting, and we must make profit. And God is the chiefest businessman. And God showed that in the parable that Jesus gave in the scripture.
God is a businessman. And right from Genesis, he has been a businessman. And that's the concept of what, being fruitful, being multiplying, and having dominion. That was the premise upon which God established you and I. So God is mindful of us being profitable with things that come into us. We must be more deliberate than we are with our work, than with our businesses. That's the truth. One of the ways you measure how serious you are following God is what is the inverse relationship between what your dedication to your work, to your academics, to your business, then to God. If it's still an inverse relationship, something is wrong. The truth is that throne is self-expressing. You don't have to self-expressing. Throne owns you. That's the truth. And that's why God's throne is not external. They needed to set that throne for us because that's the only way we can understand. You know, we live in the realm of physical substances. So the only way they can tell John that this is a throne is that they have to set one for him. Even on earth, a throne is not that thing that is domiciled inside the four corner of a building. A throne is the being himself. So throne is expressing. And you find that what? We express the throne without you actually activating it. And why? Because things that you are trading with are the things of another throne. And because they are the things of another throne, they are bound to express seamlessly. Because they are actually the things of an excellent being. What is excellent is that which achieves its purpose. It gets to its destination. You can't come against it. You can't break it. You know, excellent means that what? It's a cycle. It's all. So you find basically that, yes, the throne in us, they are self-expressing. You know, and that's why if you go read out Psalm 103, you know, you find the arrangement. You know, and by the time you come to the arrangement, the one that have, you know, the things that we have on the inside of us, that the throne actually want to dethrone, is an excellent being. So it will run its law. It will run its course. We carry different degree of the throne of Satan, no doubt about that. And one of them basically is the one of them that Mommy Ellie actually mentioned. I told myself tonight, I said, pride is not actually that your shoulder is up. You know, your shoulder might not be up. You could be a lamb like Pastor Praise. Pride is not that your shoulder is up. Pride is not that you're confronting people. All the things of Satan in you is defined as pride. That's the truth. All the things of Satan that you carry, you understand, is actually what? Pride personified. Because the root, you know, of his what? Deviation from heaven is pride. So we are all proud in a shadow. We are all proud in a way. And that's why, yes, they find expression. So you find basically the throne of Satan, which is a pride throne. I know what a pride is. We all watch Lion King now. You know what a pride is? A pride is a dominion. You know, it's a terrain of rule. It's a territory that is marked. You know, meek and lowliness, you have to learn it. Jesus said that what my yoke is easy. You know, you learn meek and being lowly. And the only way you learn meek and being lowly is that you must what? You must participate in it. It doesn't jump on you. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. So in this labor and heavy laden is what? Is the excellent one that departed and whose basically his things were custode. And I will give you rest. And I said, take my yoke upon you. You know that you can't be yoked if you are not meek and lowly. The beginning of you being yoked is actually that what? You resist. There's no animal that you yoke to another man that just follow. It takes time. Season of being wounded. Being hurt, you understand? It takes going against your will. It takes breaking. And that's what Pastor Christopher was telling us. It takes confronting those who are before you finally agree. Nobody agree at the beginning. There's no soul that agree. Because the pride that is holding you will never make you to agree. You go against it. But Jesus is saying that what will help you to come to be meek and lowly is that you must be yoked. Take my yoke upon you. He said, learn of me. And you shall find what? Rest for your soul. My emphasis tonight is that we must learn the throne. We must learn. You know, we must learn the throne. And as you are learning the throne, you are going to be unlearning another throne. That's how it works. The gap between you leaving a throne and coming to another throne is the process of learning. And it's that place of learning that we don't want to agree. That is where the work is. You know, because the pathway of learning there is a meek and lowly pathways. As we journey with the Lord, you can't even live in your house as a father. Amen. In other words, you live in your house as a what? As brethren. You treat your children as what? As sister. Yes. As we journey to being a lamb, to sit on the throne, all those equations begin to what? Fizzle out and you begin to take on the likes of the reality that where you are going to. So imagine you're a father in a house. You give instruction, they obey you. Okay? And God is taking you to a place whereby that you give instruction, they will not obey you. Now, you could see with the eyes that this is my son. I should spank him. I should go against him. I should correct him. I should right-size him. By the time we come, actually, what? You'll be what? You'll be a brethren. Brethren. And you have to persuade him. You have to entreat him. Because that's lamb. And that's the truth. John showed it in the scripture. You find that the more this guy was getting into the terrain of the throne, the more he was disappearing. You can't lay hold of him. You can't find him. You know, you can't define him. The only one that wrote the scripture, that as he kept writing, his name kept disappearing. So my brethren, please, what has happened tonight is weighty. You know, pay attention to it. You know, meekness, lowliness is the way of life. Pride is a summary of what the Satan has done inside of you. You might say, me, I'm not proud. My shoulder is not up. It's not true. So far, you have the things of devil in you. You're a proud man. But what is pride? Pride is whatever stands against what? The law of God. The standard of God. The dictate of God. That is pride. Pastor Maker said what? He said, the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. And the Lord is our king. And he will what? He will save us. So that means that judgment, you know, law, and what? Kingship are the rudiment that is going to bring throne into you. And you cannot cry for salvation. Tonight has been a very, very wonderful night for me. My persuasion, you know, is stronger. Your persuasion should be stronger. Your persuasion should be stronger. When you get home tonight, do a self-evaluation. I do that often. Sit somewhere and evaluate yourself. Pastor Abraham says something. He says, submitting yourself to one another. Now, we that law not work in the family. So when you take that law to the family, where is the father? Is he a father? Is he have rule? Is he have say? But if they are saving him, if his mileage is high in the spirit, then he must be what? He must be altered. You know, he can submit himself to anybody. Because that's where John came into. Can we talk to God tonight? You know, just talk to the Lord tonight. Now, you didn't come to this meeting by chance. You didn't come to this meeting by mistake. God has orchestrated yourself. You know, God has marked this day that your heart should be weighty. That your heart should go on with gravity. You know, that you should consider, you know, the Beacon 2025, the weight that has brought you. You know, the times of his throne, you know, that you know, the throne of God will find a place in your heart. You know, that you will not just, you know, be a hearer, you will not just be a reviewer, but you will be a doer. You know, that the throne of God will find expression in taking out the things of the enemy that's inside of you. Mina separasti, iminigosha shaparagata, entrosisi, prente manaso, plestofodo, prote paragasisi ago, pianagoto tose se sisi ente teriado, prostin parashi, pelegasi, sisi fini, minimo sasafata, parosusu pashi pana.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.